Right now, my friend Richard Battle is back with us. Americans Who Made America, richardbattle.com, getting ready to celebrate our 250th birthday as a nation, coming up July 4th, 2026. So what are we, February 4th, February, March, April, May, July? We've got what, June, July? We've got 5 months until we celebrate our nation's 250th birthday. Richard, I hope all is well down in the Lone Star State this morning.
Good morning, Joe. We're doing great. Thank you so much for having us back with you again.
Hey, I know a couple weeks ago, parts of your state also dealt with chilly temperatures and ice and that sort of stuff. A couple of years ago, the electric grid didn't handle all that cold weather. Did it do better this time around?
Well, the electric grid did great, but I had 2 inches of solid ice in my driveway that had about a 15% slope on it, so it was like a ski slope. So there was a lot of paralysis for a while.
Hey, we were talking about growth, and obviously we see it here in the Carolinas. It slowed a bit in Texas, but at the end of the day, I mean, is Texas going to stay red? You keep hearing these talks. You saw this special election last week, and I know you can take what it was. There's a snowstorm, this, that, and the other. You got a lot of folks coming from places like California down your way. Your big cities are turning bluer and bluer. Will the surrounding areas in those metro regions continue to keep Texas red, at least for the next foreseeable future?
Well, that's a good question, and I believe so. Not all the people coming from California are blue. A lot of them are escaping the situation in California and trying to bring their conservative values to Texas. So it's kind of a mixed bag. But I think that election was a one-off. I think the Republicans, unfortunately, were caught unprepared, and there was a very low turnout, which makes it much easier to win an election like that also.
Yeah, from my understanding, just looking into it a little bit further, this was for a seat that'll be held for just like 4, 5, 6 months, right? And then in November, during the midterms, the same Democrat who won that seat will have to be on the ballot again to hold and maintain that seat in the state Senate of the Texas legislature. There's also a big Republican primary for the Senate seat, right, that John Cornyn currently holds?
Well, you're correct on the Senate seat you just mentioned, and yes, they are the rep seat in the state and the Senate seat with John Cornyn. That is a huge election. There's a big Republican primary with some heavyweights in it as well, and this is the first election that Cornyn's really had to go out and campaign and try to persuade people that he deserves re-election again.
Well, we'll find out how that shakes out along with all of our big races this election season that we continue to follow here in the Palmetto State. All right, Americans Who Made America kicked it off by once again highlighting that we'll be celebrating birthday 250 as a nation. And when we talk about some of the OGs as they are or were, and some of the historical figures that had huge influence on the formation of our country, who are some of the names, outside Washington, outside, some of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence, people that you don't necessarily hear about all the time, but no doubt, had huge influence on the minds of the colonists who wanted to break free from the British crown?
Well, and that's what I do in these volumes. I look at individuals and I look at their Americandu spirit and their unique contributions, because all of them weren't alike. Some contributed in ways you didn't know, and what they did can inspire us to be better people today. And Thomas Paine is one of those people, and people will say, "Thomas who?" And they may remember the quote, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in the crisis, shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman." And those inspirational words inspired the Continental Army to overcome where they were and win at Trenton, as we've talked about, and win at Princeton and turn the war around. So his words inspired the country to victory.
And there's no question that he was in the crosshairs of the French Revolution. I mean, he was involved before he even came here to the 13 colonies under the British rule. He had some influence back home. And in fact, if you read up on him, he barely made it here to the then colonies. He was dealing with all sorts of health issues as those transatlantic voyages weren't like the Norwegian cruise ships that were taken today.
Well, yes, and that's what's interesting. I mean, he was a very ordinary person when he was in England. He only went to school till he was about 13. No one would have ever looked at him and believed that he would have become as influential as he was. And it just tells us that we should look past who people are sometimes and look at who they may become. And when he came over in 1774 and took a job at a newspaper, he started reading about the independence movement, and it fired his soul. And that's when he began to start writing about inspirational things about freedom and becoming America versus being subjects to Britain in that situation. And he served in the army, so he went through the suffering with lack of shoes and clothes and food and medicine, water, and all these things that the army went through. So when he wrote those words that I just read, they came from his soul, from experience, not some theory sitting in an office someplace.
And as whispers of independence started to spread in places like Massachusetts and down through Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, further south, obviously Charleston, as we've highlighted, obviously played a big role here in South Carolina with some 400 battles and different events of significance as part of the American Revolution right here in South Carolina. One of the pamphlets that he was credited with penning, known as Common Sense, was one of those writings that really started to spark interest in independence and this independent-minded thinking that we can become a sovereign nation.
Well, he proves that it's never too late to change course in our lives. And when he wrote The American Crisis Number One, that quote came from, George Washington was so inspired by it that he read it to his troops. He ordered every person in the Continental Army to have that read to them to lift their spirits and inspire them when the Army was at its lowest place. And so his contribution was disproportionate, not as a rifleman in the Army, but his thought process and inspiration for people to dig deep and contribute to their country was incredible.
I mean, obviously, that specific piece played a role, but just overall, I mean, a lot of these folks who were spreading the word oftentimes did not even attach their name, right, to these sorts of pamphlets because they did not want to get into the viewpoint of the British loyalists or even the British leaders here who obviously are going to try and stamp that down anytime possible.
Well, yes, because you'd have a death warrant put on your head if you were thought to be treasonous. And so many people, including Mercy Warren, did not have their name on it. Payne did and put his name out there. You know, some of the other things he said, what we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. And we think about their sacrifices. It made them appreciate their freedom. We've not had a mortal threat on our country since World War II, so that we have been spoiled, if you will, that we haven't had a threat like that, and we've had a much easier time, and so it's easier for us not to respect and appreciate our freedom.
Hey, we're talking with Richard Battle, and again, you can read more and in depth about one of the founders and Thomas Paine, who we're highlighting this morning in his book, Americans Who Made America, available at richardbattle.com. What influence did his writings have on the Continental Congress's decision to issue the Declaration of Independence?
Well, I think that his writings mostly came after the Declaration, but he was writing pamphlets and things before that as well. I think that that's an important thing because they realized that what they were doing and how they were doing it and what they gave us was very unique and inspired by our Creator, but also that it inspired them to sacrifice. And that phrase, they committed their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor, which none of them betrayed each other on. In a time like that, encouragement is so important for us individually in a situation like that as well. And his words were very encouraging to everyone who heard them.
I mean, how hard was it to you, for you as you were kind of, you know, piecing together some of the names and the historical figures that you wanted to include in these two books now, to wrap your head around? I mean, it's even difficult for me today when I read through some of your writings and then read into history, just how difficult it was for these men with little communication in between hundreds of miles with one another, to keep the message on point, to help rally all these folks with pitchforks, torches, and their own food and their own weapons, take shape and fight back against the most powerful fighting force in history at that point.
Well, it was difficult because we need to remember that our revolution was unique in world history. Most revolutions in the past were revolutions of somebody trying to become an autocratic leader, a dictator or a monarch or something. This was the first one predicated on self-governance by the people. And that's why we call it the American experience. Can we maintain that self-governance that we've been given? And I don't think we respect it as much because it was given to it as they did because they had to earn it. And we talked about Washington and how he gave up power, and the King of England said he was the greatest leader of all time for voluntarily giving up power. Well, our history's been because of nonviolent exchanges of government and parties back and forth. That's very unique in world history as well. And the more I learn, the more I appreciate it. And the thing I look for in all of these people was that American-do spirit that I believe built our country. And like I say, I look for their unique contributions. And each of them can and should inspire us to be better tomorrow than we are today.
RichardBattle.com. You can learn more about many of the publications that he has penned through his website, including the many excerpts that we bring to you through Americans Who Made America, with a look at our influential figures across the country through the 18th century, and his latest book, of course, in the 19th century, highlighting growth, division, and reunification here in the United States of America. RichardBattle.com. Richard, we're not too far away from meeting up once again over in Houston. Looking forward to it, my friend. We'll no doubt get you on before that happens. I always enjoy your insight on our nation's history. Thanks again.
We appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you in Houston and having some hardball. God bless America.
Yeah, that's right. 9 days away from the start of the college baseball season, Richard, an alum of the Texas Longhorns, a big UT fan, they'll be making their way to Houston alongside Coastal Carolina, Ole Miss, and Texas San Antonio UTSA for a weekend baseball tournament to be played at the Houston Astros ballpark of the major leagues later this month, I believe. I want to say the end of the month and into early March, that's where we will be, and look forward to breaking some bread once again in the state of Texas with my friend Richard Battle at richardbattle.com.